Okay, so pleasure to be here again, and so I later, just I'll discuss some recent results in Mangonite. The outline is like this. First I'll discuss some phase diagram, and then charge ordering, and then half doping case, and then I'll spend some time about these high temperature properties. So here I see a lot of theorists here. So Sportly. And at the end of my talk, I'll raise a few questions. I understand there will be some discussion session this afternoon. Hopefully, you guys can help us about some of these questions. Okay. Most of the magnetic and transport data was taken by Masutomo Uehara and Ki-hun Kim at Rutgers University, and Sunshine Chen and Shigeo Mori at Bell Labs. They have been taking this beautiful electron diffraction patterns, and Paolo Radelli taking X-ray and neutron scattering data. I just remind you, so in Mangonite, this easy electron in Mangonite 3+, that easy electrons do all the magics in Mangonite, and it produces ferromagnetic coupling between localized T2G spins. Okay, so here I show you this Langton calcium phase diagram. First, I want to point out this one. There are many manganese systems, Langton strontium system, praseodymium and calcium system, bismuth calcium. There are many systems. But there is something special about the lanthanum calcium system. First, the size of calcium is almost identical with lanthanum. Slightly smaller, but identical. Similar size, number one. Number two, chemically, chemical solid solution forms in this entire region from lanthanum MnO3 all the way up to calcium MnO3. Okay. Chemical solid solution forms in lanthanum calcium systems. And the last one is, in this entire region, from 0 to 1, and also below this temperature, the structure is orthorhombic.
Chemical solid, you mean randomly placed calcium?
Randomly placed lanthanum and calcium in a. For example, like lanthanum you cannot prepare in this range. And some other system like a bismuth calcium system, you cannot prepare. It's very difficult to prepare that range. Chemical phase separation. Simple chemical phase separation. And again, lanthanum calcium system, entire region, we see rather random placed lanthanum calcium on a site.
Is this unusual among transmutable objects that not being able to form this solid solution?
Well, so the kind of the rule of thumb is when you do this kind of doping, if the ionic size is very much different, then there could be some problem. It's very crude, but and also if one end compound and the other end compound, if their structure is significantly different, then there can be also some structure or chemical phase separation.
You said that lanthanum calcium are very close.
Yes.
Why isn't cuprate best used for lanthanum for strontium and not for calcium?
Good question. Good question. But I do not have an answer for that. But at least that if you just compare ionic size, strontium is significantly larger than lanthanum. Calcium is more close.
How careful has the ASI local order been studied?
For example, like at room temperature here, it's rather well studied in the sense that at room temperature, in any concentration, we don't see any splitting peaks in electron diffraction, for example. So if there is any ionic ordering between these two, it should produce very strong superlattice peaks in diffraction patterns, like diffraction patterns. We don't see that. Well, but still, you know, for example, like electron diffraction, you can see if there is ionic ordering, you know, later on we are going to discuss about this charge ordering. This is more delicate. Even this one we can see very nicely by electron diffraction. Ionic ordering is more brute force. You know, the Z number difference between magnesium and calcium is huge. So that you can see this more easily. But still, if there is a ionic ordering on the length scale of, let's say, 10 angstrom, probably it's difficult to see by electron diffraction. But if you go to order of 10 angstrom, actually, the ionic ordering doesn't really mean anything in the sense that if you go that small length scale, you're never going to have the homogeneous distribution, random distribution. If you go that very small length scale, you don't have really randomness there. Okay. First, I'd like to spend a little bit of time how we obtain this phase diagram. Okay. We obtain this phase diagram from basically from magnetic data, magnetic susceptibility data, and also resistivity. So from this magnetic and resistivity data, we obtain this phase diagram. So that this is a kind of average phase diagram. Locally, it could be quite different. Okay. Well, so again, this is from this bulk measurement, like susceptibility and resistivity. So we don't really know locally if there is a, for example, like this candidate here, it could be phase separation between this phase or that between this one and that one. We don't really know. Same thing is true here. Okay. And also, all these lines could be rather fuzzy if you go into different length scale. Okay. So again, a little time to discuss how we obtained that phase diagram. First of this 3/8 concentration. So here ferromagnetic metallicity and charge of the insulating state there. So around this concentration, so susceptibility magnetization rises like this. So Curie transition. And Curie transition temperature is defined as the middle point of this susceptibility rise. So for example, like these temperatures for this concentration. And these temperature points are plotted in this bottom panel here. So the Curie temperature changes like this way. And as you can see here, this Curie temperature is nicely peaked at this commensurate 3/8 concentration. It's not 1/3. 3/8 concentration. If you do similar things in this range, around 5/8 concentration, this is what we see. So at 5/8 concentration, 0.625, this is a 5/8 concentration. So susceptibility drop like this one, that is due to charge ordering. So we define again charge ordering temperature as the this middle point. Then charge ordering temperature changes like this. So again here, the ordering temperature peaks at this commensurate concentration, 5/8, not 2/3. Relatively well defined.
The reason you say charge ordering is just because there's a drop in susceptibility?
Well, of course, we did other experiments too, but from other experiments, like let's say electron diffraction, it's difficult to determine exact temperature. So in order to study systematics as functional concentration, this is almost the only way.
So you define it as the inflection?
Yeah, just the inflection point. Yeah, right. So in that sense, again, this is a kind of averaged structure and averaged phase diagram and averaged charge loading transition temperature. By the way, at charge ordering transition temperature, susceptibility drops. This is because at high temperature, susceptibility follows more or less Curie-Weiss law with ferromagnetic Curie-Weiss temperature. So there is ferromagnetic fluctuation here, ferromagnetic correlation there. But that ferromagnetic correlation disappears at charge ordering transition temperature because you remove double exchange ferromagnetic coupling. So that's why it's set to really drops at charge ordering transition temperature. Actually, it's rather flat. I think probably I have some better data set later. Yeah, okay. I have some better data set I'll show you later. It's relatively flat, actually. So now, around this 1x concentration, things are a little bit more complicated here. So around here, 1x. This is rather complicated, but there is some interesting trend here. So 0.05, 0.1 here, 0.125, 1/8 concentration here. So susceptibility is small at low temperature at 1/8 concentration. And then 0.15, and then 0.25. So susceptibility is small at 1/8 concentration. Now, there is this second transition. This transition is just Curie transition. There is this second transition, and this second transition is most pronounced at this 1/8 concentration. Now, we observed also kind of a sharp increase of resistivity at this temperature, at this 1/8 concentration, so that we assign this as a charge ordering transition.
How does resistivity behave?
Okay, I don't have the data, but basically it is this activation type as a function of temperature, and then there is a sudden increase at this temperature. Okay? The lanthanum strontium is a lot more complicated, actually. There are many more things comes in. So that question, so maybe I can comment about that issue. So again, lanthanum calcium case, the structure is orthorhombic, entire region. However, there are two types of orthorhombic structure, and the structure phase boundary comes in about this, about here. This I will discuss later. So there is one type of orthorhombic structure and another type of orthorhombic structure all the way up to one. Lanthanum strontium system, in addition to this structure phase boundary, there is another structure phase boundary comes like there. That's between one type of this type of orthorhombic structure to the rhombohedral structure. So lanthanum strontium case, rhombohedral structure is stable in this wide range from about here all the way up to solubility limit around 0.7. That's lanthanum strontium case. So because of this structure complication of strontium system, especially this region, things are fairly complicated.
Just thing, if you go to high enough temperatures, you see a cubic cross-section.
Okay, that I will discuss later. Okay, I have a rather nice data set for that. Okay, now.
Any direct indications or the capture angle around 1/8?
Okay, so, no, we do not. We do not have direct evidence of charge ordering from scattering or diffraction experiment. We do not have that. As far as no superstructure has been measured. So again, this phase diagram is from this susceptibility and resistivity. And yes. So that's at least consistent with charge ordering scenario. So yes, in that sense that there is difference. And also in transient case, as you know, there is a kind of intermediate phase, which we don't see that here. And again, that is also complicated by this two structure phase boundaries in lanthanum strontium system. Okay, so at 1/8 concentration, for fixed concentration, and as you can see here, this feature is well defined in this case. But this very much depends on thermal history and also on the applied magnetic field. So field cooling case, actually we don't see this transition. So we don't really know the nature of this transition yet. And part of the reason why no scattering experiment has been done in this range is it's difficult to grow single crystal in this range with stoichiometric auction concentration. So there is some materials issue, chemistry issue. Now, let's talk about around this high concentration range, around 7/8 concentration, so this range. Okay, so here. So we start from 0.7, this one, 0.75, 0.8, and 0.83, 0.875, this is a 7/8. Now, somebody asked me about this low temperature susceptibility for charge ordered case. So for example, like this one, charge ordering occurs here, susceptibility drops, and then it's kind of flat here. There is a small feature around here, but except that, so if you go up, there is a little bit increase this range, but more or less flat. So charge ordering transition temperature nicely goes down, and then something else comes in, some kind of ferromagnetism type comes in at this temperature. So here shows, so this is temperature dependence, now field dependence. So this MH curve, okay, so this case I'll start from 0.8. 0.8 is here, 0.83, 0.875, 0.9, and 0.95, and then here, 1 comes back here. So there is some kind of net moment. But it's large. It can be up to like 0.5 mu B. So if you plot, so this is a calcium concentration, and this one is low temperature, 5 Kelvin saturation moment. And it takes around it goes up to 0.5 or 0.6 at 0.9 concentration. And then charge ordering transition temperature goes down like that way. So it seems like there is a relatively well-defined boundary around here, around 7/8 concentration. Okay. Okay, so spin order. So this is a spin ordering transition temperature. So this goes to that scale. So this is spin ordering transition temperature. And this is the net moment at 5 Kelvin associated with this transition. I call this as a canted antiferromagnetism. Now, this part, actually, this line kind of continues. There is antiferromagnetic transition around here. The nature of this antiferromagnetic transition is not really known. In fact, it should be well indicated because even the charge ordering itself is relatively complicated in this region. So the magnetism on top of this charge ordering should be fairly complicated. But it's more or less antiferromagnetic type. There is no net moment in this range, or very small. Now, one might ask, so you see all this this commensurate concentration, some features. Then one might ask here, how general these features are in different magnetic systems? Okay, so for example, like a Langton Strontium system. Even in Langton Strontium system, Curie temperature peaks at this 3/8 concentration. Again, it's relatively well defined. 1/3 is here, so at 3/8, even Langton Strontium system, TC peaks there. Now, bismuth calcium system, bismuth is at 3+. bismuth calcium system, charge ordering occurs in this wide range, wide calcium concentration range. There is no ferromagnetism comes in bismuth calcium in this concentration range. And it goes like this, but actually if you blow up that region, it looks like that. So even in bismuth calcium case, it seems like a charge ordering transition peaks around 5-8 concentration.
What's the structure behaving like?
Okay. The structure at high temperatures are thrombic. So this temperature range, that range is orthrombic. Now, when this structure transition occurs in bismuth calcium system, the average structure becomes monoclinic. It's fairly complicated. It becomes fairly complicated. For example, like a lanthanum calcium case, it maintains orthrombic even after charge ordering. But bismuth calcium case, the structure becomes monoclinic. And the exact nature is not really known, but more or less monoclinic. And this kind of increased distortion in bismuth calcium system compared with, let's say, lanthanum calcium system, that is probably something to do with the nature of this bismuth ion. Usually the bismuth ion, because of 6s electrons, the ionic polarizability is large, so that it tends to accommodate distortion more easily.
What about properties? What's the one thing? Is there also quasi-metallic phase?
Yes. Okay. That's a good question, actually. In fact, the nice thing about bismuth calcium system is that's almost the only system where you can prepare single crystals in this kind of doping range. Lanthanum calcium, you cannot do it. Lanthanum strontium also, because first of all, you have a solubility limit. And then second, single crystal case, at least, solubility, miscibility gap increases in single crystal. So you cannot prepare this range. Lanthanum calcium, prepared crystal. Bismuth calcium is almost the only one we can prepare crystal here. Now, if you go around here, this range, in this temperature range, the system is fairly metallic. That I will discuss a little more, at least in lanthanum calcium system, later on. Okay, now, calcium samarium system, and this work was done, reported in this paper. Calcium samarium system, they use a different notation. Here, calcium 1 minus x and samarium x. Okay, so and samarium is 3 plus. Magnetization and resistivity as a function of temperature for various concentration around x equals 1/8. So again, x equals 1/8 here corresponds to our 7/8 concentration. So first of all, the magnetization. Let's start from close to, say, zero. Let's say very small value here. So this is very close to calcium and the compound. Magnetization is small, and this one increases with increasing samarium doping. Goes here, and then there, and then it goes there at 0.12 concentration. After this comes back down, 0.14, 0.15 here, and so on and so forth. That's magnetization. And resistivity is down there. So here again, low concentration, lowest concentration, 0.05 here, somewhat insulating. And this resistivity goes, at low temperature goes down with increasing X. So 0.05 next to here. Next there, and then comes down here. So 0.12 is the most metallic. And after 0.12, it goes up 0.14, 0.15, and so forth. So at 0.12 concentration, the system shows the largest magnetization at low temperature and lowest resistivity at 0.12 concentration. So even in this system, it seems like 1/8 concentration here. In other words, calcium 7/8 concentration. Something special at 0.12 or 0.125 concentration. So this is n over eight features, yeah, very general in manganite problem. Now, of course, n n over 8, you can write like n over 2 to the d, with d equals dimensionality 3. So, this probably indicates, so 2 by 2 by 2 lattice, perovskite lattice, whenever you have n integer number carriers, you have a charge ordering tendency. Probably that naive thinking may be consistent with most of the experimental data.
What about layered manganate? Do you have this tendency than before?
I don't know. Layered manganate case, I don't know about this feature. Single layer system, at least the single layer system, that feature exists only for one half. But double layer case, to me, that's so complicated, and I just do not know. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's the question. Yeah. Yeah. You are absolutely right. So when n is 1, 4, 5, 7, that charge ordering argument might work. But the big question is, what happens at this 3-8 concentration? Here TC, so ferromagnetism and metallicity, they are optimized at 3-8 concentration. So this case, this naive argument cannot work. Okay, now we have now a new phase diagram. This includes structure. So somebody asked about, maybe then you asked about high temperature structure. So high temperature structure is a rhombohedra. The transition temperatures are like this. That's beautiful. There is some interesting symmetry, which I will discuss later. So this is well defined, and we see some interesting curve here, sine curve here. Now, there is another structure comes in here. So this structure is Jahn-Teller distorted orthorhombic structure. And the rest, in this wide range, the structure is a slightly distorted orthorhombic structure. In fact, this is a pseudo-cubic. But it is orthorhombic symmetry. So again, this orthorhombicity is something to do with the Jahn-Teller, cooperative Jahn-Teller distortion. And this all-star structure is due to octahedron rotation induced by size mismatch between A site and oxygen distance and manganese oxygen distance. Okay, yeah, so this is the average structure again. Even average structure, this range is a pseudo-cubic or star structure. But local structure is different. Of course, if we have charge ordering, local has to be different. And that I will discuss later. Yes, yeah. Octahedron is roughly cubic. It's gone. There is already rotation of this undistorted octahedron to fit the mismatch, size mismatch between A site oxygen and manganese oxygen. Except charge ordering phase. So, well, again, every structure is even here is orthorhombic. But charge ordering case, of course, in addition to this orthorhombicity, there is a kind of a new modulation comes in. That's right, yeah. Here. No, I cannot say. No, it's not. Yeah, we don't really know. And I'll discuss. I'll show you some transport data that implies something about the possible interesting local structure.
what are the oxygen doing?
Oh, rhombohedral case, all the manganese oxygen distance is same.
Yeah.
Just there is angle changes away from 90 degrees. The distance is same. Well, it's not really tilting.
You just have yeah. Bond angle,
yeah. Bond angle changes, but not bound distance.
Not bond distance.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 something like that. Yeah, yeah, trigonal type. Pushing or squashing this way. Okay, well, yeah, I'll be glad.
Overall symmetry between charge order and ferromagnetic space.
Yeah.
Around
yeah.
Is it maintained with all the other doping also? Is it always there? The scale of ferromagnetic transition maximum.
Oh,
and the charge.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's also something I want to discuss. One question I want to raise. So, at least in lanthanum cation case, I mean, this ground state is completely different from that kind of ground state. However, the temperature is identical within our experimental interval. It's amazing. This temperature is the same with the temperature, even though they are so different kinds. Now, that does change in different systems. So this temperature is actually doesn't change much in different systems. Maybe detail of this may go up a little bit, but this maximum temperature is pretty much fixed around 270, 260, something like that. But that temperature can be up here or it can go down depending on bandwidth of the system. Yeah. Wait a minute. Where? Lead system. Lead system is about here.
Yeah.
Bismuth case. Let me be more specific. Lead is different valence. Lead is 2 plus.
Yes,
so if you put lead into lanthanum, TC goes up a little bit.
Yes.
So lanthanum, lead system, TC is like here. Now, bismuth calcium case. Bismuth is 3 plus, don't forget. So bismuth calcium case, this phase does not exist. So it's all suppressed down to zero temperature. Oh. Oh. No. Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. You got the. So this temperature actually does not change much in different systems like praseodymium calcium or even lanthanum strontium. There is some indication of charge ordering, maybe a little bit reduced. But bismuth calcium is special. Bismuth calcium system. This temperature can be pushed up. Up to 300 Kelvin. That's the highest temperature. So in that sense, who asked this question? If I compare the highest ferromagnetic transition temperature in manganite, that's a 375. Possible, the highest charge ordering transition temperature is 325. Zero approximation there also same. So there is interesting symmetry here. Again, I'll discuss this later, more about this later. Okay, so how we obtained this beautiful phase diagram? Basically, we did transport. High temperature range up to like 1100 Kelvin. Okay, so for pure compound, lanthanum MnO3 without calcium, there is one nice transition here. So that's the transition from deantallic distorted to O-stop pseudocubic phase transition. There is this sharp drop. This goes down nicely with increasing calcium doping. Okay, so from that we obtained this sharp decrease line. This line, and then of course we did structural analysis, X-ray structural analysis at room temperature, crossing this, so that is consistent with changing from O to O star. Now, at very high temperatures, now this temperature range, x equals 0, again, lanthanum MnO3, this transition is that transition, sharp transition. On top of this, there is another transition at much higher temperature, about 1050 Kelvin. And that temperature goes down and then kind of coming back up with increasing calcium up to 38. So from this, and also much higher concentration. So now 0.375 is, I think this one, and then 0.52, and then going up, and then going up here, so up to 0.8, and 0.9, very small feature, hard to see it here, but it's there, and then one there. So from all this high temperature transport data, we obtained these sine curves. Auctions stay good. That's no problem. The only problem is problem, but this is a first order transition. So there is slight thermal hysteresis. It goes like this everywhere. Order of 5 to 20 kelvin. Yes. Yes, here there are two transitions. You can see that here, right? I mean, most clear one is a zero case. One transition, another transition. Okay. Now, you mean order disorder of? Oh, I see. Well, okay, that is again this local structure issue. One of the proposition, not ours, but I forgot who did it. But cooperative Yantele distortion below this temperature, and then there is a incoherent Yantele distortion here, so that every structure is cubic, pseudo cubic, but locally. The Yantele is distorted. Even that local Yantele distortion disappeared here, that's the one of the scenario. It makes a lot of sense. Okay, now, one of the interesting thing is this. I don't, probably you realize this from this data. You see, in the range, in this open range, at high temperatures, like this range, it's more or less activation type. But if you go like here, it's different. So this kind of high doping range, you see this nice drop, recooling. In fact, 0.9 case, it's more or less metallic in this whole temperature range, down to room temperature. Well, okay, that, yes, I'll discuss about that issue. Now, so because of this interesting trend, what we did is this. We fixed temperature, room temperature, which is above any transition temperature, room temperature here, and then plot resistivity as function of calcium concentration. Okay, so again, zero is here and one is here. First, the low temperature part, this open square, it goes like this, and then sharp increase, and then like that. So at low temperature, this sharp increase, that is due to just the charge ordering at low temperatures. What is interesting is this high temperature. So again, room temperature above any transition temperatures, you can see here, this log scale, by the way, this region is more resistive than that region. Okay? So that's kind of weird, because we know the ground state is completely opposite. So ground state is a complete insulator here, matter there. But what I just said is, in this high temperature range, this region is more insulating than that range. Okay, now I'd like to change subject a little bit and discuss this low temperature charge ordering. And you probably have seen this slide picture. Okay, so in this high doping range, this is a calcium 2/3 case. In this high doping range, easy electrons, they localize and they order. They order on these dark lines. And the modulation is 16.5 angstrom. Now, this is what's happening in the orthorhombic basal plane. Orthorhombic basal plane. No. Well, there is something called the diffraction condition. It's just like when you look at something, you know, changing a little bit angle changes the intensity. So kind of the intensity change, you know, this direction, that's because of diffraction condition change. Now, so again, this is what's happening in the orthorhombic basal plane. Okay? What that means is this. So here shows the orthorhombic structure. And this is the orthorhombic basal plane, and there is a C-axis. So in this orthorhombic basal plane, there is this striped charge ordering. But along the C-direction, there is a simple stacking. That's the case for any calcium concentration. So let's go back to this two-third concentration. So again, two-third concentration, if you look carefully, there are two lines here. So we call this bistripes. And this bistripe corresponds to these two localized magnets 3 plus and orbital ordered, charge and orbital ordered, you know, these two lines. And here the separation between from here to there is 16.5 angstrom, three times the separation A. This is orthorhombic basal plane, and along C direction there is a simple stacking. So the same orbital ordered magnet 3 plus, they line up along the C direction. So in fact they are not stripes, they are sheets. They are paired sheets. Well, the only thing is not known is this. Okay, so remember, this is the basically this is the original orthorhombic basal plane. Orthorhombic basal plane. Now after this distortion, after this charge and orbital ordering, this one becomes new unit cell for charge ordering. Charge unit cell is this one. The only thing known about magnetic structure is a magnetic unit cell. Magnetic unit cell, in this case, is like that. So in other words, that direction, charge and magnetic modulation, they are same. But that this direction, there is doubling in magnetic unit cell.
So the color convention is 3 is M by 3 plus.
All yellow is 4 plus.
So the metallic structure could be CE light.
No, no, no. This is a two-third case.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Let's say CE means zigzag chain.
Oh, zigzag chain. You can make a zigzag chain like, okay, you do like this. I don't know if everybody understands this, but there is a ferromagnetic coupling this direction, and then if you continue, you can, no, you do like this. Okay, so you come here and then going up here. You can create this kind of zigzag. Then you can do it.
But that would be consistent with the
so-called C-type. Oh, yeah, that is consistent with unit cell I drew. That is not inconsistent. That's, let me put that way. Okay, so that's a two-third concentration, and then three... quarter concentration, 0.75. We still have this bistripes. And bistripe separation, in this case, is a 4 times A. So that corresponds to from here to there. Okay. Now, sometimes in this, at this concentration, sometimes...
You can make it zigzag, but you go two downwards.
Yeah, maybe you can do here and then going back. You can make it exactly like that. Yeah. Okay. So at this three-quarter concentration, sometimes we see, rarely we see this five times A modulation. So this corresponds to calcium concentration 0.8, 4/5. So in fact, if you go to calcium 4/5, we do see a lot of this five times A modulation. Okay, experimentally, this is a truly cartoon for this. First of all, I have to emphasize this. We don't really know the orbital ordering for from this picture. We don't really know the orbital ordering from this picture. What we know is this. The dark line here means that there is more local distortion. So that it's relatively easy to assign this dark line as manganese 3 plus lines. There is more local distortion around manganese 3 plus compared with the manganese 4 plus, which is supposedly isotropic. So this is the manganese 3 plus lines that we know. And then less distorted region, like here, is probably manganese 4 plus region. But we don't know this kind of orbital ordering. So in other words, you see some kind of breaking parity here. It's kind of everything pointing that way. But then we don't see that here. Can I get some numbers for that? No, I mean from here, of course not. Yeah. In principle, if you do, right, you know, refinement, you should be able to tell. On the other hand, don't forget, this is complicated.
Don't you know yeah.
In this range. Okay, I haven't seen much NMR data in this high-doping range. There's a lot of discussion about ferromagnetic range NMR, which is complicated already. Yeah, I do not know it is overdoped region. Well, I don't, you know. Not me anyway. Yeah. But I would imagine, you know, it could be also somewhat complicated. So think about this. So this kind of a situation, if you do average, I mean, you're going to see all the signal. You're going to look, you know, see all the ions, manganese ions sitting here. Some region, disordered region, and some ordered region, and even ordered region, there are many kinds. It could be fairly complicated for analysis.
In principle.
Again, the main problem is this high doping range, you cannot have a single crystal.
Right.
And you need a single crystal for this. And even if you have a single crystal, X-ray is a, the nice thing about the electron is you are really looking at real space imaging.
Yeah.
But the X-ray is basically averaging out whatever you have in your sample. Right. And if you average out, you can imagine the complication.
You said there are good single crystals for different magnets and different order regimes.
Yes.
Do you have similar data of this?
Yeah. Bismuth calcium case, electron diffraction is quite similar with whatever I present here. It seems like somewhat shorter correlation length than lanthanum calcium system, but basically everything is similar.
But this material could be good for the
That's right, yeah. So, yeah. Bismuth calcium case, in principle, can be done. And I think probably our group is almost a unique group working on this bismuth calcium. We cannot provide everybody all the crystals. Yes, that's one of our plans. Yeah, I don't know if you know Valerie Kukin, who is a kind of new faculty member at Rutgers, who does X-ray scattering, and that's one of our plans. So, I mean, you can see this. From electron diffraction, we can see these things, but we need to do a lot more work. I mean, magnetic structure and what's really happening, you know, locally. Well, I mean, that you have to be careful. This is actually TEM, transmission electron microscope.
Okay.
It's not surface probe. You go, the electron goes through the sample. The sample thickness is order of 1,000 angstrom. Okay, so this is averaging out 1,000 angstrom, and 1,000 angstrom is you know, pretty much work. Okay, so here the kind of summary. I'm not even. Probably barely halfway. What is the rule here? Oh, carry on. Okay. Whoever is hungry or busy. Okay. Okay. So this is kind of summary of charge ordering. So one half case, we have this two times A type modulation, two third case, and then three quarter case. But basically everywhere we do have bi strides. And this is important. Even one half case, we do have a buy strikes.
By the way, it's interesting to mention also that between these buy strikes, either one row of passports, three or five, never say two or four. And this.
Where am I confused?
These vertical rows of white.
Yeah.
Either
it's
one between double
strikes. Or three. One, two, three. Other number. Yeah.
This is the fact that you can make this zigzag. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to make zigzag.
That's right, yeah.
If you get two or four.
So what you're saying is basically, this one cannot come here.
Yeah.
Okay, this one cannot come here. Then you can see that it comes when it comes here, this one does not come to this point.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah,
right, yes. So that also you can make a zigzag.
Kind of a rule,
yeah? Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It is also a commissioner.
Right.
Yeah. If you say two rows or four rows, it should be also a commissioner, but it's a double thing itself.
Right. So I guess Daniel's point is probably, so zigzag is important for this. So there's some magnetic coupling and a scale comes in. That's my guess. Kind of a coherent strain induced by this plays very much important. That's my guess. But okay. But
it's also a very classical picture. Actually,
absolutely. Absolutely no way. No, especially at high temperature, as I said, this is good matter, actually. Well, not really good matter, but better matter than, lower doping range.
So the amplitude of this ordering could be really small?
It could be smaller, much smaller than it is a simple cut. One thing I want to emphasize is a 0.5 issue. Probably many of you are familiar with the 0.5, and 0.5 is the one people call so-called CE type, charge and orbital ordering. But the reality is more than just the CE type. Okay, so this is a C type, the one I drew here. But on top of this C type charge and orbital ordering, there is this bi strike formation. In other words, these two comes close, expands close. Okay, and don't forget that somehow most people don't get that point. So that you can see that. I mean, this is not the best picture, but 0.5 at low temperature. So just it's complicated picture here, but just concentrate here. You see. This one bi stripe here, and then another bi stripe. So there is this modulation, even 0.5 case. So C type is not the final story. Okay, now what's happening with other concentration? So, this charge ordering produces a spurious peak, and this modulation delta changes as a function of x like this, readiness linear. So we discussed about this kind of commensurate concentrations. And I mentioned about 452. Now the question is, what happens kind of in between these commensurate concentrations, like 0.55 or 0.58? Just that the position of delta changes linearly like this. So this case, so just here and 0.58 there, sitting on the line. But so this is the case space. But what's really happening in real space is kind of fine mixing of two neighboring commensurate concentrations. For example, like 0.55. This red circles shows this two-third type modulation. In other words, this case, you see one bistripe and the next bistripe. This modulation is a 3 times A. Though the rest region is a 2 times A. You can see that switching here. So you see bi-stripe there. In this case, bi-stripe is there. They join like that. So this kind of concentration, in fact, we have a mixing of, or fine mixing of these two types of neighboring commensurate concentrations. I don't have a picture for this, but the 5-8 case, that's also the case. Mixing between these two. Okay, so somehow, remember, at 5-8 concentration, charge ordering temperatures are optimized. It's maximum. Even though this one has some mixing between these two, this temperature, the transition temperature is highest at this concentration. I don't know why. Okay. Now, now I want to discuss this half-doping issue. So here shows what happens in transport when you approach from lower concentration, like 0.45. What happens when you approach to half-doped case, 0.5. So low temperature resistivity nicely, sharply increases. And then this hysteresis also develops. So 0.48 case, you see small hysteresis here. And that develops further, and there is a large hysteresis, 0.5 case. And 0.5 case, there is a Curie transition around here. And then charge order transition temperature is there for cooling and warming cases around there. So that can be also seen here. So the same resistivity data, 4.5, and this is magnetization data. So Curie transition is around there, and then charge order is either here or there, depending on cooling or warming. So you might question whether this one really exists or not. But we do see this bump, even in specific heat. So 0.5 concentration here. So cooling case, we see this. Warming case, we see that. So this thing does exist.
Yeah.
Well, this is, okay. 0.5 case charge ordering and anti-ferromagnetic C-type ordering occurs at the same time. So this is, in fact, also TCO.
So you continue a bit
diagram.
0.5 also corresponds to coexistence of ferromagnetic and anti-ferromagnetic.
Well, that I'm discussing now, right? So here I discuss this temperature dependence of transport and magnetic data first. And then, let's say 0.5 case, what happens with the lattice constant as function of temperature? So at high temperature is pseudo-cubic. Orthorhombic bus is pseudo-cubic. And this orthorhombicity becomes huge with cooling. When charge ordering occurs, sorry about this confusion, but I use a different notation. This case, AC plane is orthorhombic basal plane. BX is a perpendicular direction. So BX becomes short, and AC becomes comparable, and it becomes larger when charge ordering occurs. So this is basically because this charge, easy electron comes in the AC plane. So C direction, or this case, sorry, B direction, there is no charge component, so that the distance becomes small. This case, I AC normal basal plane. This is a shortest axis, actually. Shortest axis. Yeah. No. It's because of symmetry. Yeah, it's a symmetry issue. The notation of symmetry issue. So, yeah. Okay. Which I never understood, but somehow all this crystallographer, they have their own way of doing these things. You just can't argue. Okay, now what happens with synchrotron X-ray, again 0.5 concentration, one of the peaks. Some weird thing happens actually here. So at high temperature, you see nice sharp peak. This is again synchrotron X-ray there. At low temperature, like 150 Kelvin, it's relatively sharp. But in between near temperature and Curie temperature, so again, this is the same with the TCO. So between TCO and TC, that temperature range, there is a weird broadening of this X-ray peaks. That happens to every X-ray Bragg peaks. This is a nuclear peaks, okay? This is not super lattice peaks. This is a nuclear Bragg peaks. So there is a strange broadening in that kind of intermediate temperature range at 0.5. That is summarized here, this curve. So in this temperature region, this is width as a function of temperature, so red curve. So there is this strange broadening. This kind of disappears at TCO or near temperature. Yes. Something interesting happening there. Now, electron diffraction. So here shows how the now superlattice peak in electron diffraction, superlattice peak position changes like this as function of temperature, heating and cooling, they change like this. So basically what that means is at low temperature, it's commensurate position, 30 equals 1/2, and becomes this incommensurability develops in this intermediate temperature range. There's a huge incommensurability. So it turns out that this kind of strange behavior of nuclear break peak and also superlattice peak, that's all due to coexistence of charge ordered phase, short range charge ordered phase and ferromagnetic phase. That you can see, for example, like here. So this is close to that intermediate temperature range. By the way, this is a dark field imaging. So this is basically a Fourier transformation of one of the superlattice peak electron diffraction. So what that means is basically the bright region is where charge ordering occurs. So at this temperature, the charge order domain size is very small, order of 100 angstrom. So charge ordering correlation length is very small in this intermediate temperature range. And also this is the temperature range where we see ferromagnetism.
What is this dark field and how does it work?
That's the Fourier transformation of one of the superlattice peaks. So in other words, as a function of Fourier transform, then you get the X space imaging, right? So basically what that means is whatever it shows, you know, kind of broad, bright region, that's where the region producing this superlattice peak, the one you start with. In other words, this case, charge ordering region. And so that's a dark field imaging, and we can do more than that. We can do this, again, this is a high-resolution real space imaging. Real space, so-called high-resolution real space imaging is, in other terms, it's called as white field imaging. What it means is that you do Fourier transformation of whatever you have in K-space, so everything. So there you see in this intermediate temperature range, I know it's difficult to see, you see this X equals 1/2 type, 2 times A type modulation, one pi stripe, another pi stripe in this small region. So we have this short range ordered phase coexist with ferromagnetic phase in that intermediate temperature range that induce broadening of nuclear break peaks. Okay, now. So the again near temperature is the same with the charge ordering temperature. So when this charge ordering, when charge ordering becomes long range ordering, and ferromagnetism disappears, and then suddenly near transition, C type near transition comes in at the same time. Well, I mean that you can see from this 0.5 transport data, right? So when long-range charge ordering occurs, clearly resistivity jumps up like crazy, right? When long-range charge occurs, this resistivity jumps up. Now, Curie transition is around here, so let's concentrate just cooling case, right? So cooling case, Curie transition around here, it's hard to see it, but that is a small feature in transport, in resistivity here. And this is at that intermediate temperature range. And the intermediate temperature range, the transport is kind of a, I don't know, kind of flat.
Did you measure non-linearity characteristic in this region?
Actually, that the non-linearity is, we did some experiment for various reasons, and we often see non-linearity in all kinds of regions in phase space. We just couldn't figure out if there is anything interesting.
We don't think it's related with
it might be, but so far we couldn't get any kind of systematics. Okay, now, the lower transition temperature, that is a first order. So I mean, specifically is the best one, right? Specifically, you're going to believe. So this transition is always there. So this seems that is continuous, second order, and there is a large hysteresis, that's first order. That is consistent with transport data too, right, in this case. So this charge ordering is always first order, strongly first order. Now, I think this is the most interesting part. Okay, and at least it's a new part. Transfer property at high temperatures. First around 0.5 Ks. Okay, so we have transport data from low temperature up to 900 Kelvin. So previously, we discussed only below room temperature. Now, all the way up to 900 Kelvin. So let's see here, 0.48, 0.485, 0.5. So this increases, of course, due to charge ordering. And then 0.52, also we do have charge ordering, so low temperature transport is large. However, in this high temperature range, you can see 0.5 is most resistive. More resistive than even 0.52 and more resistive than these concentrations. And it's more resistive all the way up to, you know, the temperature we measure, 900 Kelvin. Oh, by the way, this inset. Okay, so this inset, I think previously somebody asked about this charge gap issue. So this quantity, D log rho D T inverse, this quantity is supposedly charge gap if there is an activation type transport. Okay, so we plot this for various concentrations. So when this thing becomes smaller than zero, negative, what that means is there is metallic temperature dependence. Anyway, overall the trend is with decreasing temperature, this quantity, let's call it charge gap, tends to slowly increase.
Charge gap is smaller than the temperature.
Charge gap seems smaller than. It's not really gap. Yeah, it's not true charge gap. But you know, whatever this quantity is, yeah, whatever it is, right? Yeah. So, but at least we see some interesting trend here. So, if you go very high concentration, this somehow metallic behavior at high temperature comes in because it becomes negative. And again, 0.5 is most resistive than any other neighboring concentration, lower concentration or higher concentration. In fact, the change is drastic, nicely going up and then suddenly drops down to here. Now, thermal conductivity. We measured up to 320 Kelvin. It's rather complicated. I don't want to go into too much details. But for example, like 0.485, thermal conductivity goes like this. At charge ordering, thermal conductivity increases. This is Curie temperature. At Curie transition, thermal conductivity increases, and then charge ordering, thermal conductivity decreases. By the way, if you do this Wiedemann-Franz law computation out of this transport, electronic contribution to thermal conductivity must be very small, much smaller than whatever you see here. So this is we are looking at mostly phononic thermal conductivity. So again, it's complicated, but one interesting feature is that this high temperature above all this transition temperature, 0.5 thermal conductivity is smallest, smaller than lower concentration or smaller than even higher concentration. So that exist in this entire temperature range. So
because 0.5 is a line of phase separation, so even above transition temperature.
Well, I don't know. You may have some theory for this. Let me just present some. Yeah.
So in your phase diagram, 0.5 is exactly the thing that separates antiferromagnetism.
Okay. Well, okay. So 0.5 case basically. There is a long-range charge ordering here. This is the range we see all this interesting coexistence, right? And this temperature is around 220 Kelvin. Now we are discussing this range, right? Okay. Spill over, okay. Yeah. To me, it's not so obvious why it should spill over all the way up to 900 Kelvin.
900
Kelvin. I mean, I told you about all this temperature range. Okay, so here, summarize, X dependency. So as a function of calcium concentration, from 0.4 up to 0.6, so the top one low temperature, of course, this increase is due to charge ordering in this high doping range. Room temperature, above any transition temperature, room temperature cut shows this nice peaking at 0.5. Again, this peaking survives all the way up to 900 Kelvin. It becomes smaller, but it survives up to 900 Kelvin. Thermal conductivity, this room temperature, it decreases like this. Downturn, again, don't forget this is a phononic thermal conductivity. Now, so we discussed about this nuclear Bragg peak broadening in this phase mixing region. So we wondered what happened at high temperature, what happens with the structure. So we did careful X-ray as function of concentration for fixed temperature, room temperature. So room temperature and then varying concentration. And you can see nice here. This is a combination. Actually, there are more than one peak here. There are this peak and there's a 400 peak and KR41, KR42 mixed. So it's somewhat complicated. But at least you can see the essence. 0.5 is more broader than any other concentration. So from this peak position and also the width, we estimated. So first, the peak position changes like this. It's confusing. Increasing to theta is this direction. This is small and that's large. So with increasing calcium concentration, 2 theta increases. Okay, this is increase, not decrease. Increases. So what that means is that lattice constant shrinks very slowly with calcium doping. I think that's because calcium is slightly, is very similar but still slightly smaller than nanosmall. However, the peak width, there is a well-defined peaking broad here. So we know about this two-phase coexistence issue in that intermediate temperature range at 0.5. And then if you see something like this, this broadening, then the natural speculation is that there's very short-range charge ordering, even at temperature like room temperature. And then judging from resistivity, this tendency survives up to very high temperature in very narrow X concentration range. Only this tiny concentration range, there is this weird charge ordering fluctuation. So that is the charge ordering part, kind of localization part, charge localization part. Then what happens with ferromagnetic correlation at high temperatures? So remember, this is how TC changes. It's kind of broadly, it peaks around 3.8, but you know, it's kind of broad here, at least if you plot this way. But if you do room temperature cut and measure susceptibility as function of calcium concentration, we have this beautiful peaking. 0.5 is here, just smoothly goes like this, around 0.5, but there is this nice peak at 3.8 concentration. So at high temperature, ferromagnetic correlation is beautifully enhanced at 3.8 conventional concentration. Yes? Okay. I think that's a very good point. We don't have a complete data set to make strong statement about this issue. In other words, the temperature dependence is roughly Curie-Weiss-like, but it's not really. There is certain deviation from Curie-Weiss. This deviation also varies in different concentrations, and it's rather complicated. But at least if you do just this room temperature cut, this is what we get. Room temperature, we can get very nice signal, and this is what we get. Okay. And remember, the maximum temperature is about 270 or 272 Kelvin, something like that. And then we do room temperature cut. So we are something like 10% away from maximum Curie temperature. But still, part of this could be just the fact that you are doing this cut, and that is close to this Curie temperature. And that may be the reason why we have this peaking. But that's fine. What this means is this enhanced ferromagnetic correlation at 3.8 concentration, especially at a high temperature, that is well defined. That's the only statement I want to make. I mean, I think there is no question about that from this data set. Okay, now, kind of late, but this is a questions. We want to get some help from you theorists. Okay, first, Feynman correlation optimized at 3.8. I mean, we discussed a lot. And then we see this short range charge ordering fluctuation up to very high temperature at very narrow concentration range. And to me, it's some kind of charge ordering frustration, or charge ordering, orbital ordering frustration. The system wants to undergo this charge ordering transition at very high temperature, but because of some reason, that transition is very much reduced down to this 200 Kelvin range. Now, if I go back to this our new phase diagram, I mean, we discussed most of these things, but you know this yin yang. So what is it? This Chen philosophy. Light. Well, I mean, you know this, so I don't have to turn this on. That's more important. What is the yin yang principle thing? Everything has a positive side, negative side. But every positive side has a little bit negative aspect. A little bit, every negative thing has a positive side. Even devil can be good sometimes. I guess that's the point. So this structure transition temperature, you see this beautiful sine curve. This is a hole doping if you go this way. If you go that way, that's electron doping starting from this end compound. So hole doping, electron doping, ground state is completely different. However, the temperature is very similar. They are sharply separated by this 0.5 concentration. There is beautiful symmetry here. Now, low temperature insulated here, but there is a little bit of metallicity there. So it's like having this small circles. It's metallic here. Well, I don't know which one is good, but okay, say metal is good. Good, good, a little bit good. Bad, a little bit bad, or something like that. So this interesting symmetry, we want to get also some help. Okay, I should stop here. <We're> late. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. I can say a lot about that. Okay, so let me just turn this back. Okay. I can say a lot about this. There is a, you know, my talk title was, in fact, phase separation. And there is a lot of discussion about phase separation in manganite case. But I think one should not be confused. You know, all these kind of problems, you know, we are talking about some kind of magnetic insulator and then doping, chemical doping, all these problems. You always see some kind of phase mixing problem. Always, you see. Okay? Most cases, they are not interesting. Okay? So don't be excited if you, you know, if you see some indication of phase separation in this range or in that range. I think we have a lot of evidence, in fact. I mean, this can't be the antiferromagnetism, as Daniel pointed out. It could be just simply phase mixing problem. Phase mixing problem. To me, it doesn't seem so much interesting. And that kind of thing always happens. There is some indication even incorporate this kind of a phase mixing and then kind of a dirty magnetic transition. We see all the time. Whenever we study this kind of, you know, kind of doped mud insulator.
Yeah.
Well, but I think there are interesting cases, okay? Very small fraction. There are interesting cases. In manganite case, in my mind, what is interesting case? What is interesting case? Interesting case is phase mixing between this ferromagnetic metallicity with charge ordering. I think that's very much relevant to CMR effect. That's why I'm interesting, okay? In fact, if you go here, if you apply a magnetic field, you cannot drive the system into here. In other words, you don't have a magnetic resistance. You have a magnetic resistance only whenever you have this kind of phase mixing. In fact, whenever you have that kind of phase mixing, also you can have a large magnetic resistance. So So that's again charge ordering versus some magnetic other state. So there are interesting cases, but here also we have plenty of indication of magnetic complication, phase mixing, things like that. We see that actually all the time. For example, like if you study lanthanum cobalt oxide and then strontium doping in low dope range, in the range between 0.1, like 0.3, 0.4, you see all kinds of stuff, spin glass-like, spin freezing-like, and all these things. I think that's also some indication of phase separation. But it doesn't seem much interesting. There is no magnetic resistance, no superconductivity. Now, cooperate case, of course, these are striped things, if you believe, Iverson Emery story, if you believe. I mean, that's, of course, a very interesting case. But one should not be confused about kind of junk effect versus interesting cases.
In that case, when you're near 0.5 but inside the electromagnetic region,
Yeah. Did
you also get at any temperature some sort of phase separation between charge order?
Yes, we do. That will require another 1 hour talk, but basically what happens is this. So this is again average structure, okay? But even if you go here, even in lanthanum calcium system, there is some indication of presence of a small amount of charge ordering. Maybe it smears out. Depending on what length scale you're talking about, what kind of property you're talking about, these things could be smeared out. Now, more interesting case is, in fact, you can have a third axis like here, like changing bandwidth or in chemical sense, just putting smaller ion into lanthanum site, right? If you do that, this temperature comes down, these things spills in, then there is all this interesting two-phase issue comes in. That two-phase issue is a really interesting case because that's the one showing this huge magnetic resistance. So that's the main point. That is an interesting case. Phase coexistence between this ferromagnetic metallicity and charge ordered case, especially this one-half type, this type charge ordering, when it spills in, so if you go here, and if you do some cut like this way, this plane, like praseodymium calcium is a beautiful example. If you do a praseodymium calcium cut, let's say on this plane, that corresponds to a narrower band. And what happens is, so as function of x here, so phase, this is 0.5 is here, let's say, charge ordering spills in like that. But still, this is in the case. You see, I didn't show data, but that's the case. It comes in like this way. Now, if you plot delta, remember delta? This region, delta changes like this way. We don't have data. But below here, it comes that way. In other words, even this range, like 0.3, 0.4 range, charge ordering does occur in praseodymium calcium system, but their charge ordering is this type, one-half type. That comes in like this way. So delta changes that way. Okay? So in other words, this interesting phase separation is a phase separation between this kind of ferromagnetic matter and this one-half type charge ordered state. Yes. Yes.
One of red noise is the
Okay. Cinema
material.
Okay, okay.
What I would sort of like to have is 10 minutes informal presentation by you and then the questions,
but I don't want to prove all. Well, okay. I don't have any data here.
Yeah.
I can sketch this. I had a transparency. It's probably I left it in my hotel. But
I don't know if people are tired now.
Maybe we do it at 2 o'clock. Okay. Thank you very much.
And then anyone who is interested in that wants to go on, welcome to stay. For about maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then actually, at 2 o'clock, we have this another discussion session on
manganese.
We have.
another 12. Yeah. Most of them. I like to keep some of them. Because on the paper you said. Yeah.
You just collect where it's open for left and east, yeah?
Yeah, okay, I'll give this to... Yeah, well, I mean, it's something we didn't write, probably better to hold a little bit, so, yeah, right, okay.